I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture this morning comes from 1 John 1, verses 1 through 2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Thank you, Jean. Appreciate the reading. There's a theme in our scripture, and you hear me say that every Sunday. There's a theme, and there is a theme. And this theme goes all the way through the Bible. I don't know if you can see that theme, hear that theme as Jean was reading, but it's very important. It's something that, as I said, you hear from the beginning to the end of this scripture in our Bible. Have you ever heard the word koinonia? Now, there was a time back in the 80s when Sunday school classes loved using this word, koinonia class. And churches I served would have a koinonia class. Well, koinonia is fellowship. We have a fellowship class. Just don't call it koinonia. But koinonia became very popular for a while. Christian fellowship or communion with God is what koinonia really means, but it's fellowship. Then we have a word, ecclesia. And ecclesia is a particular body of faithful people and the whole body of the faithful. Ecclesia, koinonia. Now, if you go back to Genesis, you'll notice that God says it's not good for man to be alone. And then we read about Eve. Fellowship. Bringing someone in, have someone with you. It's very important. And then as we go through, we see that other people tend to just keep procreating. Why? Well, part of it is for work, because they needed people to work the land. But the thing is, they didn't want to be alone. They want fellowship. Fellowship's very important. We heard Johnny speak about fellowship, about having people that you can come together with and that you can worship with and be with, and people of a like mind. And Paul speaks about that quite a bit. And in the 1 John, we hear the same theme, a theme of fellowship. And he really keys in on that. Now, we're going to be experimenting, and I've already warned a couple of people I'm going to pick on them for this experiment, but they graciously accepted. So I'm going to ask Judy, would you go stand in the foyer, please? And I want you to go in there. Now, Judy, don't be messing around. I don't want you on your phone. Go back into the foyer and just stand back in there, if you would, please. All the way back. Go on. All right. While we're there, I'm going to ask Beth, she's going to surprise her, if she would lead us in just one verse of Jesus Loves Me. All of us, listen, we're going to sing it. Go ahead and lead us.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Judy, you weren't singing. What happened? Why weren't you singing? Did you feel like you weren't part of the fellowship? You guess so? How does that feel to be out there when everyone else is joining together in song? Not good. Okay, you can have a seat. You did really well. Fellowship. It's very important, and if we try to worship by ourselves, it doesn't work as well as coming together. Now, you're going to think that's strange, but it's really not. Now, here's a story for you, and it's about a lady named Linda. She was a young woman, and she decided that she was going to drive up to a place somewhere near Alberta, going up to the Yukon. And she had this little Honda Civic. And she didn't realize in the fall, you don't make that trip. She was going to Whitehorse. And Whitehorse is out in the middle of nowhere, and you've got to have a four-wheeler, and she has this little Honda Civic, and she wants to go. So she goes up there, and her first night before she actually gets there, she stays at a hotel, and she tells the guy where she's going, and the hotel clerk looks at her like she's crazy. Well, she didn't understand that. She had never been up there before. So the next morning when she gets up, she looks around, and she sees snow, some other stuff. She's like, maybe that's why he's looking at me funny. So I'm going to kind of play it off, and what I'm going to do is go to the restaurant attached to the hotel, and I'm going to eat breakfast before I make this trip. Well, she gets in there, and there's only two other people in there, and they're two truck drivers. And they invite her to eat with them, and she does. So they're sitting there eating. They start talking about where she's going. She says, I'm going to Whitehorse. They said, oh, no, you're not. She said, sure I am. And they said, in that little Honda Civic? She said, yes. They said, ma'am, you're not going to make it unless you have some help, because it's foggy. You're going to be going up into mountains, and you're going to drive right off. And she said, well, I got to go. That's what I'm here for. So the truck driver said, one of them, well, we're just going to have to give you a hug. And she jumped and said, you're not hugging me. He said, that's not what I mean. He said, I'm going to drive in front of you. Joe here is going to drive behind you. You're going to be in between and we'll guide you. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. So she got out on the road, and she has this guy in front, one behind, and all she could see were the red lights at the tail of the 18-wheeler. And she follows him, and she makes it. That's what we do. We just have to give you a hug. Johnny, we're going to give you a hug. You're in the hospital. We're going to send you cards and letters, and we're going to hold you. We're going to give you a hug so that you can make it safely. You get that? That's fellowship. That's what we do. If you would like to come in here by yourself on Sunday and worship, you just let me know, but I will guarantee you it will not be the same as being with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It just will not be the same. So, what do you do? How do you like knowing that you can be hugged in a congregation in a way that makes you feel safe? In a way that makes you feel encouraged to go on? 1 John is telling us that's what we're doing here, folks. It's the fellowship. Not only fellowship with one another, but fellowship, John says, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can't get better hugs than that. That's pretty good. So we're going to do another experiment, and we're going to see how this one works. Jack, you got chosen. I need you to go out to the foyer. Now, when you're out there, don't act like you're running for office or anything. Just go out. Uh-oh, he shook hands on the way out. Got to watch him. All right, folks, here's what I want you to do. I'm only going to give you 1 minute to do this, so don't try to make it any longer because then I'm going to have to interrupt. I would like for you to stand and shake hands with one another where you are. Don't be doing all this. Just shake hands. All right, please have a seat. Jack, who'd you shake hands with? Did you shake hands with someone back there? No? Why? You were excluded. Were you alone? You were alone. Did it put you in a worshipful mood to be back there by yourself? No. Do you feel like worshiping now? Then come back and have a seat. He just won't quit. He's going to keep shaking no matter what. It's an interesting thing that the Scripture tells us from beginning to end that fellowship is important. You see communities. We see communities in the Old Testament. We see communities in the New Testament. We hear Jesus talk about community. So here's your question. I would like an honest answer. Why do you think Jesus had disciples? Anybody? What's that? So he wouldn't be alone? To help him? You know, a lot of people are going to say, well, because, you know, that way they could carry on his work. Anyone who's read Scripture might say that the disciples weren't too good at that. When it came time, they ran. But Jesus built communities. And his disciples were his community. And so when they broke bread together, Last Supper, the whole time they're on the road, when they came together, they were in fellowship. They were a community. And Jesus lived and preached community. You will see that word tons of times on the lips of Jesus and throughout the New Testament. Community. What happened when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected? Once he was resurrected, as we celebrated last Sunday, all of the disciples came together that were left and formed a community called the Way. They didn't go back to fishing. They didn't go back to whatever it was they were doing before. They formed a community because that's what Jesus lived. Was community. Into community. God calls us to do that, and 1 John tells us that's what God calls us to do, which means to be engaged in each other's lives and experiences. It's showing up at a funeral, even if you don't know someone, but you want to be there for a friend. It's taking time to visit at the hospital. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's the preacher's job. You don't think that your friends in Christ would like to see you? Community. It's making a point of going to a concert of someone's child who's performing to show solidarity, to be part of community. The lesson here teaches that we are, or should be, affected by each other's experiences, which leads us to respond. So we sympathize, offer to assist, or do what we can humanly do to alleviate suffering and aloneness. Community. Jesus taught all of us. Jesus taught you that you have a unique ability to offer a ministry to God's church. And when people come through the doors of a church and they say, boy, well, you know, once I go to the service and leave, I'm done. The rest is for the preacher. It's not a ministry. We have people here who visit, who make phone calls, who check up on people. I get calls. Hey, did you know so-and-so who used to be at this church 30 years ago is in the hospital in Dallas? Community. That's what that is. We're connected. We don't all have to be together to be connected. It's nice, and we should, if we can, come together to worship, to praise God and give God thanks for all that we have, for the return of Johnny, for the health of Herb as he comes back to us, for people who have been touched by God. Come together as a community and celebrate what God has done for us. Let's consider Paul. This is a good time to bring Paul in here. If God designed the church to function like a body with every member ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit to other members in regular interpersonal relationship, then would it be surprising to find the neglect of this regular interpersonal special ministry cripples the body and some of its functions and causes parts of the body to be weak and sick? Isn't that what you would expect from Paul's description of us as a body, that we all serve as some part of Jesus Christ? If we're not doing that, does that not make that part of the body sick? Is that not leaving that part of Jesus Christ out there in the wind? We're part of a body. Paul says it. Community, fellowship, we're part of a body. Jesus said it. If some of us have our minds on our cell phones, what we need to do tomorrow or this week at work, we have our minds on that, or other concerns in our lives, rather than on those around us when we come together to worship. How can we be in community? How can we be in fellowship if our mind is somewhere else? Because what matters is that you're here as a corporate body to worship, as a community of faith, as a fellowship. What was once a very good Christian man fell out of fellowship with the Lord for 15 years. He was really good, and then suddenly for 15 years he was gone. One day he and his fishing buddies were at sea when a huge storm came out of nowhere. Sound familiar? And was close to destroying their small boat. His friends begged him to do something, even pray. But he said to them, "It's been a long time since I've done that or even gone to church." Finally, they were so desperate, he said, "Okay." And he prayed. And this was his prayer. "Oh, Lord, I haven't asked you for anything in 15 years, and if you help us now and bring us to safety, I promise I won't bother you for another 15. Is that how we pray? "Lord, I hadn't been around, but, you know, if you help me out right now, I promise I won't be around some more. I've had people tell me in this church and in every church I've ever served for the past 38 years, if I invite them and they haven't been in a long time, well, if I come in, the walls will cave in. I can't come in. It just won't work. The ceiling will fall. I mean, I haven't been there in years." And they come and it doesn't happen. But I'll tell you what does happen. People walk up, shake their hand and say, "It's so good to have you. So glad that you're back with us." They love them. They bring them back into the fellowship and treat them as though they had never left. That's what John's talking about. A total fellowship with the Lord. A total fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Just because they're not here for a long time doesn't mean they're no longer a brother or sister. They are. Hear these words. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, if we say we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus had disciples for the fellowship. It would have been really tough to have the Last Supper by himself. It would have been really hard to be on that road alone, constantly going up against the bad guys. When we have fellowship, we have community. That's why we're here today. And so often people fall away from this and they get lost. But when they come back and they're welcomed with open arms, they say, oh, I've missed this. I've missed my church family. And what is a family, if not a fellowship? Isn't a family like a micro community? When we have community, we have true light. Fellowship makes community. Community makes the body of Christ. And who doesn't want to be a part of that? When this service ends, use the arms and legs of Christ to carry the word of Christ into the world. It is what we are called to do. You've heard the old saying, God has no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet. God has appointed us to do the ministry. And he sent his son to show us how. And his son said, this is how you do it. You become community. Support one another, and then you can do it. And this is off on another track, but I want to say this after hearing a baby. Last Sunday was one of the greatest ever. There were so many children. And I kept hearing the cries. And I said, that's what we need. We need more babies. We need to hear that crying. As much as it may annoy some people, it is a joy to know that people feel comfortable coming and bringing their children into the fellowship and making them part of the community. What a wonderful thing if we embrace them and say, we're so glad you're here. Let us pray. Lord, as we come this day, oftentimes we forget that this is our community. This is our fellowship. We ask that you remind us all the time that your son taught us to be in fellowship, in community with one another. Fill us with his spirit. Fill us with the drive to go out of these doors today and bring others into the fellowship and remind the world that we are part of your community. For we ask this in your son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's word is brought to you.